Okay, good morning. I want to welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Another beautiful day in the house of the Lord. You know, we're here to praise our God, to learn of His goodness. You know, we had rain this morning. My cousin John Bryant in Calgill, he's been praying for rain, for his ponds to fill up, for his cattle to be able to drink, and it's a blessing. You know, the Lord blesses us every day. You know, it might have been a little wet. My mother-in-law doesn't like to get her hair wet. We had to have an umbrella, you know, but He blesses us. He blesses us every day with the things we need. And our brother Dan this morning, he just mentioned, you know, the words in there, you know, the message is plain and simple. And actually, my title of my sermon is The Simplicity of the Gospel of Christ. And you know, it's a blessing to be here with my brothers and sisters. You know, I grew up in this church. I was here 30 years, and in the old church and in the new church. And I preached at Collins, and each time I'm in a different place, before I come, I think, oh, you know, I'm comfortable at the East Local. And I think, you know, oh, I'm in front of new people, but I'm not in front of new people. You know, I'm in front of my brothers and sisters that have that same love wherever we go. You know, when I went to Collins, you know, I was nervous. I got there and I was greeted with the love of God. And that's what we need to do in all things. Always greet everybody with the love of God. We need to live our lives for God. We need to be that example to all of God's love. And so this morning, you know, I had titled it The Simplicity of the Gospel of Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:12 says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly in you word." You know, the word simplicity means single. Simplicity in Christ is a single-mindedness of faith and loyalty to our Lord. Having one's mind made up and one's motivation headed in a single direction, that of Jesus Christ. You know, from this, we can see how simplicity in Christ speaks of purity rather than a mixture, singleness of heart as opposed to duplicity. No man can serve two masters. You know, Paul told the Corinthians that he feared that by some reason their minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, the word corrupted means to destroy by bringing down to in a worse state. You know, when contrasted to the word simplicity, we see a clear picture. Paul is warning us against dividing our faith, obedience, and devotion between Christ and something else in our lives. You know, we need to live a Christ-like life. We must have Him first in our lives in everything we do. You know, I want to turn to, I have probably every scripture in here, and every scripture in here is my favorite scripture, but this is one of my very favorite scriptures. And it's, let's turn in the Book of Mormon to page 220. It's Mosiah 2. And I'm going to start with verse 9. It says, "I say unto you that if you have come to the knowledge of the goodness of God and His matchless power and His wisdom and His patience and His long-suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which hath been prepared from a foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord and should be diligent in keeping His commandments and continue in the faith even unto the end of his life, I mean the life of the mortal body. I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were ever since the fall of Adam, or which are or which ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means by where salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you. believe in God, believe that he is and he created all things both in heaven and earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power both in heaven and earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them. Humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, now here's the important thing, see that you do them. You know, we know all these things. We know what we need to do. We believe, but we need to do them. We need to follow God's example. And again, I say unto you, as I have said before, that as you have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if you have known of his goodness and have tasted of his love and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that you should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness and his goodness and longsuffering towards you unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves, even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, you shall always rejoice, you shall be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. You know, so we must believe, we must trust in God and let him lead our lives. You know, I always have to, I love music. In our hymnal are many testimonies, and I want to read, let's turn to 274 in the hymnal. And it's, Father, lead us day by day, or lead me day by day. And I'm going to read the verses. It says, Father, lead me day by day, ever in thine own sweet way. Teach me to be pure and true. Show me what I ought to do. When I'm tempted to do wrong, make me steadfast, wise, and strong. And when all alone I stand, shield me with thy mighty hand. When my heart is full of glee, help me to remember thee, happy most of all to know that my Father loves me so. May I see the good and bright when they pass before my sight. May I hear the heavenly voice when the pure and wise rejoice. And may I do the good I know, be thy loving child below. Then at last go home to thee, evermore thy child to be. You know, and just those words, you know, are a blessing. You know, if we think of those words and ask God to be with us in all things, he will bless us. You know, we need to have the communication with God through prayer and let him guide us in our lives. You know, we should ask him for his will to be done, not for what we want. You know, we want things and we want it the way we want it. And we hope and we have that faith, but we must ask God for his will to be done in our lives. Let's turn to page 437 in the Book of Mormon. This is Alma 17. And two verses here. Alma 17 on page 437, it's 35. It says, Now you may suppose that this is foolishness in me, but behold, I say unto you, that by small and simple things are great things brought to pass. And small means in many instances doth confound the wise. And the Lord God doth work by means to bring about his great and eternal purposes. And by very small means the Lord doth confound the wise and bringeth about salvation to many souls. You know, it says, by small and simple things, great things come to pass, and the Lord brings salvation to many souls. You know, he does. You know, small, it's simple to, we know what to do. We know the things we should do, but we must do it. You know, God, you know, it's simple. It's simple if we will just trust in God for all things. I want to turn to Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. We all We all know this too. Matthew 5. And I'm going to start with verse 1. And it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up in a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them by saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness' sake, for they shall be filled." You know, these first four that I just read, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, and that hunger for righteousness. You know, that describes the heart of the person who is rightly related to God. You know, those things, the blessings. The next ones, the remaining ones that I'm going to read, you know, describe how such a person relates to other people. So we're going to start with 7. It says, "Blessed are they that are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are they, the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You know, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, in that 16th verse, you know, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, at the East Local, every Sunday, I challenge everybody at the end of the service that we need to let our light shine. You know, we come to church, we're filled with the Spirit, we have the love for one another, you know, but when we leave here, when we're in the world, you know, when we're at work, we're in school, we're at the store, are we living our lives for God? Are we showing His goodness in our actions? You know, do we show His light through the things we do? You know, how do we talk to others? You know, do we always say, "Think before you speak"? You know, so many times, you know, at my work, I deal with people all the time, different salesmen, different people. And sometimes you hear something and you take it wrong. And then you think about it or you pray about it and then you realize, oh, they probably didn't mean it that way. And so think before you speak. Be kind. Give the love of God and let His light shine through you. You know, I have an example. Our sister Sadie is here today, and I kid her because she's kind of comes to the temple a lot. She used to come to the East Local, and she's been attending here a lot, which is good. But I work with her at Macy's, and I've worked at Macy's part-time for the last 10 years. And she started working there last year, and she became a sales supervisor. And one day in one of their meetings, they were talking, and they said, "You know, David, he always gives up his Sunday shifts." And, you know, blessed that Sister Sadie was there, because Sadie said, "Well, yes, he's the pastor of my church." You know, you know, the thought is, nothing for me. I'm not saying anything that, but I hope that when she said that, that the people would think, "Oh yeah, I could see him as a pastor. I can tell he goes to church," instead of, "Oh wow, he's a pastor at your church? What's the deal? You know. So the things we do, in life, you know, we have to be the same when we're at church. We have to be the same when we're at work. We need to be the same everywhere we are, you know. And, you know, it was a blessing. Sadie said that, and they said, you know, David can feel, I've been trying forever to say I cannot work on Sunday, you know. And we have a way where we can throw the shift out, and we either get points if we're not there or try to get somebody else to pick it up. And they told Sadie, they said, you know, he can fill out this paper. We'll go through corporate office. We will make it so that they can approve it, and he'll never be scheduled on a Sunday. And sure enough, so now I don't have to go through the hassle of getting rid of my Sundays, and I'm blessed, you know. So it's a blessing that Sadie's there, and I hope, I didn't ask Sadie, but I hope they said, I can see that he's a good person, you know. And let's see, I got off of here because I started talking here, so... Okay, let's turn to Matthew 22. And I'm going to start with 37. It says, Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so on these two commandments, loving God, loving our fellow man, our neighbor as ourselves, you know, not having that pride in our own, but loving each other, you know, we must hang our laws on these two commandments. You know, we must love God, we must love our neighbor. If we love God, if we have the love of God in us, we're going to love our neighbor. We're going to show that love. Let's turn to 1 John 4. And I'm going to start with verse 7. 1 John 4, verse 7, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell with him, in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. You know, we need to let God's love dwell in us, within us, and show this love to all. You know, this week in my work, a coworker, he about Wednesday, he said, did you hear about the lady that's 128 years old and has never had a happy day in her life? And it was like, well, you know, I was preparing for my sermon. I had actually stayed up late the night before. And he, you know, he said this. He said, you know, this 128-year-old woman never had love, never had happiness in their life. And we can tell by that she doesn't have God in her life. You know, how could, if we have God in our life, and he is the one that will bring us the joy, the happiness, you know, and surely she has had some happiness. But we need, I know we have all had the happiness. We're here today, we have the love of God, and, He blesses us. You know, we don't want to, I don't think I want to live to be 128. I'm sure I don't. But I can tell you that I want to live with that love and show that love to all in our lives. Now I'm going to go to the basic principles of the gospel. You know, they're simple. We all know the principles of the gospel, but I'm going to go over them here. And it's faith, repentance, baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection, and eternal judgment. And let's turn to Hebrews 6. I'm going to start with verse 1. Hebrews 6, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying against the foundation of repentance from the dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of the eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the power of the world to come. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." You know, the first principle of the gospel, faith. You know, let's go on to Hebrews 11, which is just a few pages over. I'm going to talk on faith here. Hebrews 11 says, now, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." And I'm going to drop to verse 6. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You know, our brother Glenn preached a couple weeks ago at the East Local, and he touched on the importance of faith. And you know, I had already told you, I give the challenge. I tell us every week, you know, let our light shine in the world. But when he talked on faith, excuse me, I added an extra challenge that night. And that challenge was that when we pray, we all know that when we pray, we need to have the belief in God and have the faith that he's going to answer our prayers, that he's going to be with us and comfort us and in our lives. And, you know, I think so many times, you know, we get in a habit of saying our prayers. You know, we know before we go to bed in the morning over our food. But sometimes I think we're in a hurry and forget to pray in faith believing. You know, we say our prayers to God, but do we really have that faith? When someone is administered to, do we unite in prayer? Do we unite knowing that God can bless them and truly pray to God and in that faith that they will be blessed? That week, right, you know, right after I gave that challenge, you know, I give these challenges and they're really more for myself. You know, we have to have reminders. I need reminders. Of the things I know what to do, but I need those reminders to do the things that are right. And that next Wednesday, Becky texts me, and this text said, "Pray for Brady." And Brady is my little one-year-old grandson. And it said, "Pray for Brady. Courtney text said the daycare said he's lethargic. Take him to the doctor right away." And you know, even though I have a faith and a strong, I'm still a nervous person. And when it's my family, when it's our family, you know, I'm a worrier. But I bowed my head and I prayed in faith, not knowing what the situation was exactly. But when they say he's lethargic and take him to the doctor right away, it's like, how serious is this, you know? And I prayed. And I was comforted. I prayed in faith, knowing, asking him for that blessing, knowing that he would bless him. And sure enough, he had a double ear infection. He was lethargic, meant he's normally active and excited, and he was tired, you know. But when I get this text that says he's lethargic, take him to the doctor right away, it was scary, you know. But I prayed in faith, believing. You know, I think we just need that reminder. You know, we all know these things. We all know it. This week, a couple days ago, I read on the CCEG, Brother Placido in Mexico, he gave an update on the Mexican mission, and his first words were, "My beloved brothers and sisters, I greet each of you in the precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ. I am so grateful to have the opportunity to communicate with all of you. All your brothers and sisters here in Mexico are praying for you. We are blessed to be part of God's family." You know, so, you know, we are so blessed that we can unite in prayer. We're so blessed for the CCEG that we can communicate to all the needs of our brothers and sisters and pray to him. You know, we need to always pray with that childlike faith and trust in God in all things in our lives. You know, the second principle of the gospel is repentance. You know, the definition of repentance is to resolve to amend one's life as a result of contrition for one's sins, to feel sorry for our sins, to regret, a complete turning away and going in a different direction. You know, Paul told the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do good works meet for repentance. God has given us this avenue to repent, to change our ways, and to live our lives in a godly way. The third is baptism, and the fourth is laying on the hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost. I want to turn to 2 Nephi 161. So 2 Nephi, page 161. And I'm going to start with 14. And it says, "And the Father saith, repent ye, and be baptized in my name, the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, He that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost. Like unto me, wherefore, follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and Savior down into the water, according to his word, behold, then shall you receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and then can ye speak with the tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, After that ye have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that ye are willing to keep my commandments by the baptism of water, and ye receive the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and can speak with a new tongue, yea, even with the tongue of angels, and after this should deny me, it would have been better for you that ye had not known me. And I heard a voice from the Father saying, Yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this that unless a man shall endure to the end, in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore do the things which I have told you that I have seen, that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, you have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and of the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye entered in by the way, ye should receive." And, you know, it's self-explanatory there. You know, that's, again, one of my favorite scriptures. You know, it tells you everything to do. And we'll, I'll continue in a minute. with those verses. But the fifth is resurrection. You know, Christ rising from the dead made it possible for us. You know, 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You know, how wonderful. You know, the sixth is eternal judgment. And let's turn to Alma 8, and this is on page 341. Alma 8, 341, I'm going to start with verse 96, and it says, "And he shall come into the world to redeem his people, and he shall take upon him the transgressions of those who believe on his name, and these are they that shall have eternal life. And salvation cometh to none else. Therefore the wicked remain as though there had been no redemption made, except it be the loosing of the bands of death. For behold, the day cometh that all shall rise from the dead and stand before God and be judged according to their works. Now there is a death which is called temporal death, and death in Christ shall loose the bands of this temporal death, that all shall be raised from the temporal death. The spirit and the body shall be reunited again in its perfect form. Both limb and joint shall be restored to its proper frame, even as we now are at this time. And we shall be brought to stand before God, knowing even as we know now, and having a bright recollection of all our guilt. Now this restoration shall come to all, both old and young, both bond and free, both male and female, both wicked and righteous. And even there shall not so much as a hair of their head be lost, but all things shall be restored to its perfect frame, as it is now or in the body, and shall be brought and be arraigned before the bar of Christ the Son, and God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, which is one, eternal God, to be judged according to their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil." You know, so now that we know the principles of the gospel, we believe in God, we've been baptized, you know, is everything done? Is everything done? You know, I know we all know that answer. You know, so now let's turn back to 2 Nephi, page 162. And I'm going to start with 27. 2 Nephi chapter 13, it says, verse 27, "And now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask, is all done? Behold, I say unto you, nay. For if ye have come this far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in Christ, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save, wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feast upon the word of Christ and endure to the end. Behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way. There is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now, behold, this is the doctrine of Christ and the only and true doctrine of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen." You know, so you know, I brought these simple examples today. The simpleness of Christ, of knowing Christ. I brought a simple example. And what I have a plant. Beautiful plant, Boston fern. A couple weeks ago, Darren, he came to my house and he brought over the flyer for the scripture theme camp. And when he came up on my porch, I love plants, and I have flowers up there. And he says, oh, I love your flowers. And he said, your dad loves flowers too. And I said, oh, yeah. And so it gave me this thought, you know, of, you know, we have this plant. You know, it's a beautiful plant. It's healthy. It's flourishing. But what, can it just stay this way? Can it stay this way on its own? You know, can this plant be healthy, and can it, unless we water it, unless we fertilize it, unless we get it proper amount of sun? I know we enjoy, our brother Leslie and sister Irene have their garden, and others have gardens, and they bring in wonderful vegetables that we share. But unless they weed this garden, unless they pick the vegetables at the proper time, then it's not going to flourish. You know, and I want to relate that to our spiritual life. You know, if we don't do the things that we're supposed to do, if we don't do the things to grow in our spiritual life, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to, is it going to be healthy? Is it going to be flourishing? Or, like this plant, is it going to be dead? Is it going to be brown? Is it, you know, if we just go along with our life and we know these principles that I have just said, the principles of the gospel, we know what we should do, but then if we just let it be stagnant, if we just don't read the scriptures, do not pray, you know, if we let our life just go with what we think we should, we've learned the gospel, we know what to do, but we don't let it grow in that we come to church and do the things that are right. If we don't live our lives right, then we're going to be like this dead plant. You know, I think a visual aid kind of helps us to go, okay, you know, I'm sure we want to be this healthy plant. We want to flourish. I get talking and I don't move my pages, so sorry about that. So we know what to do. We study the scriptures. We do the things. But we think, okay, that's all it takes. But then there's stumbling blocks. And I'll tell you, at my house, I have like four planters. And one planter, about every other day, I go out there, and I'm sure it's a squirrel, it's either a cat or a squirrel, has removed every plant and put it on the ground. You know, and there it is, the stumbling block. So if I am to leave that plant, those plants on the ground, they're going to die. They're not going to look pretty. You know, and so every day that I see those, I replant them, I rewater them. You know, and so when we come against these stumbling blocks in our lives, things that we don't have any control of in our lives, you know, are we going to pray to God so that he can help us through those stumbling blocks? Or are we just going to leave the plants on the ground, let them die? Are we going to let our spiritual life just go? You know, and I know we know that answer. You know, we're going to come through trials, but God will pull us through those trials. God will bless us in our lives, in our spiritual life. And we must let it grow. You know, we must have a zeal and enthusiasm for the gospel of Christ. You know, this week, yesterday was the royal wedding. You know, people, when I get ready for work every morning, I'll have Good Morning America on or whatever. And the last 2 weeks, it's been anticipation, excitement of this royal wedding, you know. When the Royals were in the World Series, was that exciting? It was. I was excited. You know, I had that excitement of every day, you know, hoping they would win. You know, can we have that same enthusiasm. Wouldn't it be wonderful every day that we had the enthusiasm for Christ, for the gospel, to do the things that are right? You know, God asks in Isaiah 63:15, he says, "Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and thy mercies towards me? Are they restranded?" You know, zeal means intense interest, enthusiasm. You know, let's turn to Alma, page 404. It's Alma 15. And I'm going to start with verse 53. I say that, I'm not going to. I'm going to start with verse 27. It says, "Now it came to pass that when Ammon had heard this, he returned to the people of Anti-Nephi-Lehi, and also Alma with him, into the wilderness. There they had pitched their tents and made known unto them all these things. And Alma also related unto them this conversation, conversion of with Ammon and Aaron and his brethren. And it came to pass that it did cause great joy among them. And it came to pass that they went down into the land of Jershim and took possession of the land of Jershim. And they were called by the Nephites and the people of Ammon. Therefore, they were distinguished by the name ever after. And they were among the people of Nephi and also numbered among the people which were of the church of God. And they were also distinguished for their zeal toward God and also toward men, and for they were perfectly honest and upright in all things, and they were firm in the faith of Christ even to the end." You know, I read that because, you know, we must have this zeal to serve our God. We must be honest and upright in all things. You know, in our lives, when we're in the world, we must be honest people, upright in all that we do, and we must have that strong faith in Christ. You know, the second thing we need to do, we need to meet together oft. Help encourage one another. We can support each other to strengthen each other in our faith. You know, let's turn to 3 Nephi, page 652. And 3 Nephi 6:52, chapter 8, I'm going to start with 53, and it says, "And behold, ye shall meet together oft, and ye shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when you shall meet together. But suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not. But ye shall pray for them, shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore, hold up your light, that it might shine unto the world. Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do." And Moroni 6:6 says, "And the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls." There's a comedy on TV, an old comedy called Mama's Family. I don't know if some have seen it or some haven't, but it's about this elderly mother, and she has a grown son, a daughter-in-law, and a daughter, and they banter back and forth. They banter back and forth about things. And on one episode, the grown son said to his mom, and I'll have kind of his talk probably, but he says, "Mama, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven." And Mama replied, "Well, you don't have to wear a parachute to jump out of a plane, but it sure helps." You know, and that's light, but it's true. You know, we can stay home. You know, we can say, you know, "I know the principles of the gospel. I know what to do. You know, I can stay home. I can be just as spiritually grown at home. You know, I don't need to be in church," but you do. You know, maybe, I think you probably need to be for yourself, but you might need to be for your brother or sister that's here, that needs to have your love. You know, on Wednesday nights, on Wednesdays, I'm come home from work, I'm tired. You know, the thing I would like to do is just come home, sit in my recliner and relax. You know, but Becky and me have made it that every time the church doors are open, we need to be here. You know, and we'll get ready, go. I might be tired still as I'm driving to church, but once I'm at church, you know, the Spirit of God is there, the love of my brothers and sisters are there, and when I go home, I'm revived. You know, revived, you know, you might still be tired, but you're revived, and your spirit is revived. So it's so important that we come to church, that we praise our God. You know, and maybe it's not as much for ourselves, but it's for my brother or sister that needs us that night. You know, there's a peaceful spirit when we're in church. So it's so important. It's so important that we make that commitment. You know, the third is the duty to pray often. You know, we must pray without ceasing. Let's turn in the Book of Mormon, page 429. And I'm going to start with verse 218 on page 429. It says, "Therefore, may God grant unto you, my brethren, that you might begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, that you begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when you are in your fields, yea, over your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Cry unto him against the devil, which is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your field, that you may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your field, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets, and your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for the welfare, for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those that are around you." You know, so we need to constantly communicate with God. You know, he will bless us. Take him everywhere you go. You know, have God's Spirit in you. You know, the fourth thing I have down here is the duty to study and to know the Word of God. You know, it is important that we bring our scriptures to church. We take notes so that we can study the Word of God, so that we can learn from the ministry, you know, the things that God has put on their hearts. You know, I could not be up here if it wasn't for my God. If I think of coming up here, I'm scared to death, you know, but God blesses me. You know, if I think and I think, you know, am I going to say something wrong? You know, what? You know, I'm a worrier, but God blesses me. And if we study the scriptures and that we, he will strengthen us. He strengthens us in all that we do. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You know, so there it is. We need to study the scriptures, know the word of God, so that we can live our lives with God in it. You know, in Matthew, let's see, number five is the duty to go toward perfection. You know, we cannot be perfect, but it is our duty to strive to follow God's commandments and to live our lives from the example that he has given unto us. You know, we need to give of our best to the master. You know, and me being a singer, I would like to read that song, but I won't. You know, read it to yourself or sing it to yourself. But, you know, we must, in all we do, give our best to the master. You know, in Matthew 5:48, Jesus says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." You know, and I hear, you know, we can't be perfect, but we can try. We can try to be perfect, you know, and God has given us that example, that we live our lives and we follow him, and we follow him into perfection. Let's try to be perfect, you know, and he will bless us. I have a poem here by Helen Steiner Rice, and it's called Faith is a Mighty Fortress. Says, we look ahead through each changing year with mixed emotions of hope and fear. Hope for the peace we long have sought. Fear that our hopes will come to naught. Unwilling to trust the Father's will, we count on our logic and shallow skill. And in our arrogance and pride, we are no longer satisfied. To place our confidence in love with a childlike faith in God above. And tiny hands and tousled heads that kneel in prayer by little beds are closer to the dear Lord's heart and of his kingdom more apart than we who search and never find to answer the answers to our questioning minds. For faith in things we cannot see requires a child's simplicity. There it is, the simplicity. You know, a child is looking for the truth. The child is believing. You know, we must believe. We must have that simple childlike faith. It says, a simple childlike faith to men, forgetting color, race, and creed, and seeing only the heart's deep need. For faith alone can save man's soul and lead him to a higher goal. For there's but one unfailing course. We win by faith and not by force. You know, I didn't know how long I'd be today. I made it pretty good, a couple minutes over. But, you know, I hope today I've brought some things that will help us better serve our God, live our lives for God. You know, God simply asks us to follow his commandments. You know, it's simple. Follow God's commandments. Do what's right. Live our lives for him. You know, I'm going to remind us, since I'm not at the East Local today, to give the challenge, and I kind of told you the challenge earlier. But from Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, as we leave here, you know, it's so easy when we're in the house of the Lord to be kind, to love one another. But when we're in out of here, in our workplaces, everything we do, if we're, I know Sean goes into Quick Trip and gets a drink, I do too. Everyone we see, greet them in happiness. Let God's light open that door for them. Do the things that are right. You know, if the person's a little farther away, coming into the door, wait for them. Hold that door open. Let God's light shine in everything we do. Be an example to all of God's love. You know, I'm going to end with one verse. You don't have to turn to it, but it's Messiah 3. It's on 225. And this is my hope. This is my hope for all of us. And it says, therefore, I would that you should be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in good works, that Christ the Lord omnipotent may seal you his, that you may be brought to heaven, that you may have everlasting salvation and eternal life through the wisdom and the power and the justice and the mercy of him who created all things in heaven and in earth, who is God above all. Amen. So thank you very much.